Welcome to the Lucid Live Vibes podcast. I am Britt, the host and creator of Lucid Live Vibes. As always, I never interrupt the podcast meditation, relaxation with an ad, with sponsorship. However, we have coffee and I have a guest. I'm excited that he's back. So before we dive deep into what is real and what is fake, I have three sponsors that are offering three amazing discounts. Now, I handpick all the sponsors, and here's the deal. You're getting an amazing deal when you shop, but in return, the sponsors, they support this podcast. And I love that because the ads, right? The interruptions? No, thank you. I want to opt out of that. So thank you for shopping with these sponsors. I love everything that they have to offer, but what I love most are the discounts. Strong Coffee Company, if you're looking for a protein coffee, if you're a coffee, hey, listen, if you're a coffee snob like we are, you're going to love Strong Coffee Company protein coffees. They also have a powdered latte. So those of you that travel, you're going to love the powdered latte. So just go to strongcoffeecompany.com and enter good vibes with an S, and you'll save 20% off. But let's keep it going because there's a 25% off with Savorista. It's Savorista, Savorista.com. This is for the half calf, decaf. If you can't do all the caffeine, I get it. This is for you, and you're going to get 25% off with the good vibes. GOODVIBES, good vibes. It's the coupon code at checkout. This is for the best tasting, full flavor, half calf and decaf coffees. I told you we were sharing the coffees today because we got coffee. And this is going to be a good podcast. So if you opt out of coffee, if coffee is not your go-to, good for you. You're going to save 30%. And I love this because this is a superfood. It's ZivoLife. It's a superfood, plant-based. One drink is all you need, and it's perfect in the morning. Wake up with the sunrise. Fill yourself up with ZivoLife. It's ZIVO.LIFE.com. Good vibes at checkout. You're going to save 30% on this superfood drink. Now entering the Lucid Live Vibes portal, opening the doorway, the entrance, the gateway that is the Lucid Live Vibes podcast. Mike is here. Welcome back, Mike.
Yay, I'm back.
Okay, we got to dive deep on this because we've been talking about intuition in season 4 of the podcast, and we've taken a few detours, but that's okay. The last podcast, I talked about 3-Eye Atlas, the interstellar object. It's the third interstellar object that has come into our awareness. It's super exciting. And the supermoon that's coming up. And so there's a lot happening right here, right now on planet Earth. So we have been taking a few detours, but this episode is going to tie it all in together. In this episode, we want to discuss what's real, what's fake, right? Fake news, also the catfishing, the scamming, the spamming, what is real, what is not real, before we dive deep into some psychic stories. Intuition, that innate inner knowing, right? Our gut instinct, that intuition, the inner navigational system, we've been talking about that. And Mike made a really good point this morning. When we were talking about what's real, what's fake, and there's a lot of that going on right now, especially with AI. And we want to dive into that. And we want to even take you back to a story from the early 1900s. You're going to love this. And Mike said something that I felt was really profound. And I really wanted to bring that forward for us to think about this. In a time of the deep fake, right? Catfishing, what's real, what's not. It makes telepathy and psychic abilities even more important, more vital to the human experience, because I believe all humans have intuition and psychic abilities. The psychic abilities are part of the human experience, and it's when you go beyond your intuition. And so Mike is right. How are we to know and trust what's real and not real for ourselves? We have to listen to ourselves. We have to know. And when we can access our intuition, those innate abilities that come with all the psychic abilities, that's part of being human, we know for ourselves. And so I'm excited he's here because he brings a different perspective.
I try.
You do. It's amazing. You know, those are the people that are so expansive when they see all the perspectives and they can have all those conversations, right? And so we want to go there and talk about what's real, what's not real. But I really think this is going to open the doorway and lay the foundation for future episodes when we're talking about psychic abilities, because I truly believe that, you know, us being superhumans has been being suppressed and hidden for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Now, I can go back 100 years easily, but I can go back even further, 10,000 years, when things really shifted and changed. But it's almost as though there's been this fake news story to skew the truth about intuition and psychic abilities. I mean, come on, the word psychic, you're probably already judging that. Like, how many people, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Mike, you turned on some crazy episode of like psychic something or other, and we watched about 2 seconds of it, and I was just rolling laughing. And there's some like Hollywood celebrity psychic, and it was just nonsense.
Most of them seem to be nonsensical.
I mean, really, it's crazy. It's like it's almost as though they're putting on the act to make it seem silly. But you know what the truth is that every single military complex, every single government, they have a psychic department.
I would venture to guess as well that everybody in this world has trusted their gut at some point.
Absolutely. The gut instinct.
That's right.
Absolutely. For me, it's the headspace, right? The mind, the brain, all of that. And then the heart, which is biologically a magnet. And then you have your gut. So I'm not into chakra talk or any of that, but I am into, and Nikola Tesla speaks of this. And, you know, any medical doctor, any MD you talk to, they'll talk about the three pillars of the human experience is mental, emotional, and physical. And, you know, it's this holy trinity of us and really understanding. And so we've been talking in the podcast, this overall idea of this great awakening, how so many humans are waking up to, there's more to me, there's more to life. And I think what we're talking about, whether things are real or fake, what's true and false, it absolutely applies. We have to know for ourselves, the me, myself, and I human experience. What do you believe for yourself? You know, the soul loves the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is a lot of people are really having to go inward, the deep dive into self. Like, what do you think? What do you feel in your heart? What does your gut tell you? So when you can make it physical and you're really feeling it, you know for yourself. So here's a fun story. Last night, I mean, if you don't know, Mike is my husband. We've been married for 25 years. We just celebrated our golden anniversary. What's our secret to a long marriage? No, this is not an ad. It's not sponsored. But what is it? You only get to be right 50% of the time.
That's right. That's right.
That's our secret. You get to be right 50% of the time. So, yeah. Think about that perspective for a second. And nobody likes a know-it-all. And nobody wants to be told what to do, right?
Absolutely. But I do know most of it.
Mike is a wealth of information. He is a master researcher, but he is a Life Path 11, which is a master life path. And I believe that really includes the ability to see all the angles, all the perspectives. And so that's why I love conversations with Mike, is he's willing to open doorways and see angles and perspectives that maybe I hadn't even considered. And so this podcast is all about a thought experiment, right? What do you think about it? What's going on with the thoughts? But really, if we want to trust ourselves, we drop down into our heart space. We drop down into our gut instinct. You know, it's interesting. I want to tell you guys this funny story from last night, but really quick before I do. You know, one thing that we're going to be talking about in future episodes here is the CIA. They released documents confirming that the gateway process is true. It's real. And last year in 2024, they also released everything about MK Ultra. And so many things that have been suppressed around mind control, intuition, psychic abilities, it is coming forward. And it's interesting that the CIA would bring that forward. And so all my meditations, everything is based on this gateway process, which has to do with the balancing of your brain hemisphere and the heart being a magnet. And you have to breathe into your heart, calming the brain, balancing the brain. Your blood begins to pump different. You open as this gateway. So it's not a one-hit wonder experience. It's a lifestyle. You know, meditation, it's a lifestyle. The same goes for there's fight or flight, and there's rest and digest mode. A lot of humans are in this fight or flight, the survival mode. And there is an invitation to breathe. When we breathe in our nose, exhaling out our mouth 7 times or more, you're calming the parasympathetic nervous system. It's a biohack like none other. You know, no cold water, no cold plunge needed. Just breathe in your nose, exhale out your mouth. That's how you calm, and really entering into this rest and digest mode so you can what? Digest information. So I think that when we talk about what's real, what's not real, trusting your gut instinct, and even in the future with psychic abilities, what's happening in the body, right? You got to understand what's going on with you so you can be centered in self and balance and breathe and process what you know. So last night, this is a fun story. Our little town is known as Halloween Town. And they do 31 days of Halloween. And so last night we went to Scooby-Doo Halloween, played all the old Scooby-Doos. It was like Saturday morning cartoons all over again, outside. And it was amazing. And then we went to the maze. No, it wasn't a corn maze, but it was a, was it pallets?
Oh yeah, it was made out of bunches and bunches of pallets.
And super, super cool. And you go in the front and it is this giant mouth that you walk into, and they have lights going, and you go in, and Mike says, which way do you want to go? There's three entrances. There's three entrances. Which way would you like to go? And I said, I have an idea. Why don't I use my intuition and psychic abilities and just feel for the exit? And he's like, oh, I'm in. Let's go. This is going to be fun. And so I just kind of held up my hands without being weird in front of the other people that were there. But hey, embrace your weirdness, embrace your weirdness. And so I kind of just held up my hands to feel the way that I feel for things with my intuition and psychic abilities. And I felt like there probably was an exit with all three, but I really felt like the easiest exit was door two or three. And so I said, I think three is the direct exit. Well, sure enough, it was. Sure enough, it was. It actually took us to two different exits. So they had more than one exit. But it was funny because right as I was like, oh yeah, there's the exit. Easy. Like in moments, we were at the exit with our intuition and psychic abilities. I stopped before I hit the exit and I felt like I had missed something. Like I felt like I had missed something fun. And I was like, hold on a second. I want to go back. And all of a sudden I had this knowing that the entrance number one, door number one, actually was full of all the fun. That's where the fun was. And so I turned back and sure enough, I found a rainbow light tunnel, which is amazing. And it was so much fun. It had music and you would never know that it was there if you weren't on that path. And so not only was I able to find the exit so fast that I missed all the fun stuff, but I had the knowing before I left, hey, you missed something you really wanted to see. And I'm so glad that I went back to see the rainbow light tunnel. It was worth it. So even when it comes to the little things, you have that knowing, you have that instinct. So whether it's not missing out on the fun or finding the easy exit out, you do know for you. Absolutely. But I will say, it's easiest to tune into your self-knowing and it's easiest to create and manifest when you're joyful and playing about it. So when your inner child is at play and you're having fun, it is easier. When you start to stress, right, and move into that fight or flight mode, is it real? Is it not? Which way? And you're panicked. It's hard to feel for the truth in it.
Putting up blocks to the flow.
You do, and you can overthink things. So I play psychic ability and intuition games a lot when I go live. So I'll have different things in boxes or in my hands or, you know, pictures and cards and all sorts of different things and invite people to tune in to know what it is. And the people that offer, you know, their immediate gut instinct, like snap of the finger, instant, you know, were right. Now, maybe they didn't know the exact thing, but they were onto it. They could sense something, a color, a thought, a feeling, whatever. And they were onto it. Whereas people that were overthinking it and asking me questions were moving far away from it. Also, how many times do we talk ourselves in or out of something with the thoughts? Yeah, when you get thoughty and it gets into the head, that's when it kind of starts spinning. So we have some things that we wanted to share with you, different stories, but I really want to take you back to the early 1900s because Mike was telling me the story this morning and I'm like, oh yeah, and there's more of that. Where are the fake news stories coming from? Where's the fakery from, right? Because our history is loaded with fakery. I mean, I've talked about this in the podcast that many of us that struggled in school, I think it was because we knew it was not true. Like a lot of the information we were learning. Now we're Gen Xers. So we went to school, you know, in the 80s. We were done by the early 90s. And I actually was in college in the early 90s. And I went to school for advertising art in the early 90s, which I'm sure that doesn't exist anymore. And I went to the University of North Texas, which was known as being like top three in art. And it was not easy. Let me tell you, it was not easy at all. And I remember so much in the art program at the university that to me just seemed like, that's not true. That's not like the way they would talk about certain artists, like Shakespeare, right? That's another one. Like, is it true? or are we just getting Christopher Columbus? You know what I'm saying? Like all these stories about Christopher Columbus, just so not true. And it's really funny because in America, we have Thanksgiving coming up soon. I don't know of anyone in America, the United States of America, that talks about Christopher Columbus or celebrates Thanksgiving as being like the pilgrims and Indians or any of that. And to be honest with you, I'm like all for the Indians. Like, like, and you know what's funny? In the '80s, we used to dress up. Did you dress up?
Oh yeah. Oh man, we played cowboys and Indians like all the time.
So for Thanksgiving, you had to pick between being a pilgrim and an Indian, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was an Indian every year. I had moccasins. Like I had the costume for it every year. I was always ready. I don't know if they dress up anymore, but
I doubt it.
I was always an Indian.
I actually liked the buckled shoes.
The pilgrim buckled shoes. Okay, so this is the coolest story. Have you guys heard of the Mona Lisa? Yeah, that one. Well, here's the true story of the Mona Lisa, because guess what? The whole thing has been fake news. Can you believe that? The Mona Lisa, just as fake as the Christopher Columbus stories.
It just proves that narratives are important to certain groups, and it's been going on for a really, really long time. You know, Lucid Live Vibes here says that I'm a researcher, and that's true. I find all sorts of crazy little informational things, and they always seem to tie into our life or a podcast or something that's coming in the future. But yeah, I didn't know this about the Mona Lisa. Did y'all know the Mona Lisa was a not well-known painting at all? In the early 1900s, it sat in the, I'm going to butcher this, but the Louvre?
The Louvre.
Which has recently been in the news with the jewel heist and things of that nature. But the Mona Lisa sat on a wall in a room with hundreds of other paintings. It was actually one of the lowest ones, sitting closest to the floor, overlooked all the time. Not a popular painting, nothing special about it, with the exception of Michelangelo. It was stolen. There was a theft that happened, and the Louvre did not even realize it was stolen for 2 days. Once the media got a hold of the story.
This is the early 1900s, y'all. Okay.
So when we're talking media now we're talking newspapers. Print,
yeah.
Print newspaper. Early print newspaper. The media got a hold of it and wanted to sell more papers, so they called it the world's most valuable painting, things of that nature. They really hyped it up and hyped it up and hyped it up. And for 2 years, they looked for this painting and the thieves, and apparently they found the painting. I'm not sure the story behind that, to be quite honest with you, so it's something that you could research more if you're more interested in this topic. They found it, and of course, after 2 years of the public hearing about the most valuable painting, the best painting ever created, being stolen, once it was found, everybody wanted to see it. So that's how the Mona Lisa got started. That's how it became so famous, was because of media hype.
And so the media were the ones that talked about the golden ratio and how the eyes follow you everywhere. It was all made up. The media, without knowing anything about this painting, because it had been stolen, decided to hype to have a news story. They made up every single thing about the Mona Lisa. It's not true. And, you know, I shared with you that I went to college, the University for Art, and it's interesting to me because I never understood why people thought the Mona Lisa was... Now, I'm a big... lover of art and art history. Don't get me wrong. I love a good Picasso, and seeing a Picasso in person is wow. And I love Matisse as well. Oh, Van Gogh. Oh, Starry Night. I mean, come on. But the Mona Lisa? Really?
And this story isn't to diminish Michelangelo by any stretch of the imagination.
He
was obviously a brilliant inventor and a brilliant painter and all of that, but he was not a portrait artist. It was literally a side job for a wealthy merchant, like quickly, for extra cash.
Yeah, that's the true story. Did you guys almost miss it? He just told you the true story of the Mona Lisa. Again, not to diminish the artist because he's truly amazing. I mean, come on, one of the most celebrated, right? The true story, he needed a side job. It was a side hustle painting to sell to a wealthy merchant. It was none of that that the media made up, but they made this up way back then over the heist. So we can all see how clearly the media, right? I mean, come on, remember Britney Spears and how the paparazzi would chase her down, shaving her head, like the craziness? Yeah, I mean, Princess Diana with the paparazzi, I mean, that's crazy. And so not only are there paparazzi, people trying to chase down stories, now we have people that are just fabricating stories, but this is nothing new. What is it? The victor gets to write the history? Is that what
History is written by the victor.
There we go. I mean, for me, when I go back to World War I and World War II, which I believe what we're experiencing right now is because of World War I and World War II, I do not believe that Germany lost World War II at all. Different things were going on. And again, it's time for the truth to come forward about World War II. But who's writing all that history? Who's telling us? Because here's something I'm finding out about AI. Google, right? With their AI with Google, it is now coming forward. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's people that train AI. You have to train AI. AI is the lazy college kid who copyrights everything. AI has access to the information it is given, and it follows the coding and its software. So AI is all about how it's programmed and what information it has access to. So there are a lot of people who are training AI. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but when you interact with AI, it doesn't matter if it's ChatGPT, Grok, right? Any of these AI, the software, I love Copilot, which is Microsoft for image creation. I have a great relationship with Copilot. I love the way Copilot speaks to me. But did you know that every time you interact and you give a prompt to AI, you're partially training it? When you go back to AI and ask for more or ask in a different way, you're actually assisting and training AI.
You're adding information to its memory bank.
Absolutely. And so when you ask in a different way, your prompt is everything when interacting with AI. So AI can only be as good as your prompt, how you're asking, what are you wanting? A lot of people love the AI images that I create, and it's because I'm prompting it. And it takes me several prompts and several interactions to get the perfect image that I'm looking for. It doesn't create it the first time around. I'm guiding the AI. I'm prompting it. I'm training it to get what I want. And so what's really interesting is Google specifically has not been allowing their AI to access encyclopedias from the past. Google is limiting their AI, and this is coming forward, so you can definitely research this. And I follow a lot of people that train AI and know about AI over on X. And it's fascinating what they're bringing forward. So there are a lot of people that are diving deep into AI to better understand all the different platforms and all the different AI models. So with Google specifically, they are not allowing their AI to access previous encyclopedias. We are talking hundreds of years of information about our history that Google will not allow their AI to access. So these AI experts have been diving deep into Google, and Google is not allowing their AI to be trained by the truth of the past. Meaning giving their AI access to everything. Because you see, if we allow AI access to all the information, then AI can go through everything. I mean, how powerful would that be, right? And could weed through everything that was said, everything that came forward. But that's not happening with Google. Now, this could be the same for other AI, but Google's really in the headlines right now for many reasons. But it's coming forward that Google specifically, it's almost as though, and again, this is an opinion-based podcast, right? Like, we're not giving advice. We're not telling you what to do. We're just having a conversation. So this is all opinion-based. But it feels like all the information that's coming forward about Google and their AI is that they're rewriting history, that they're rewriting. And it's like, are they pulling a Mona Lisa on us? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to start telling us? Because here's one thing I've mentioned in past podcasts. Chemtrails, right? The spraying in the sky. They told us for so long it was a conspiracy theory that they weren't spraying the skies. That was what airplanes do. Some airplanes just make, no. See, those of us that are Gen Xers and those that are baby boomers, right? There were no lines in the sky. Like, we remember, and the sun was yellow. Now it's white. The sun hasn't changed. It's the atmosphere. And so no AI and no rewritten history is going to be able to convince many of us that have real life experience. There were no lines in the sky when we were kids. When we played outside, it was clouds and the sun was yellow. And now there's lines in the sky and the sun is white.
And the sky is light blue.
The sky is light blue. Yes. Yes.
Used to be a deep blue.
It did. The space, the sun, it hasn't changed. It's the atmosphere. And again, this isn't fear-based. This is knowledge-based. What's true, what's not true. So conspiracy theory, which I have a podcast all about that, was created by the CIA to label people and to label thoughts and thought experiments. Oh, that's a conspiracy. Oh, that's a conspiracy. Well, come on. Almost every conspiracy theory has been proven to be true. And so this idea of things being labeled as a conspiracy, that's over. Like, I don't even think they can do that anymore because so much of it has been proven to be true at this point. So go back all these years, all these decades of these conspiracy theories, like all this thrown at the people for having a thought about something that goes against the narrative, goes against the written history. Was that written history true? Or is it just all fake news like the Mona Lisa?
Yeah, the lines are becoming blurred. Are the articles that you're even reading now, are they real? Are they truth? Are they narrative driven?
Well, Mike has another one for you. And this goes back to Google AI. I don't know if you guys know Robbie Starbuck. Anyways, there's a lot about him, whether you love him or hate him. He shines a light on companies. He shines a light of enlightenment of what's happening. So, like, I think he was even part of the Cracker Barrel conversation.
Oh, and, for sure.
he brings a lot of truth forward about certain companies and where we spend our money. And I love voicing my opinion through where I spend my money. For example, anybody that forced a face mask on me back in 2020, because I didn't wear a face mask, the human has to breathe. Talk about fake news. Talk about, that was a fake news story, the face mask. I don't shop there. And a lot of those companies went out of business, actually. And in our small town, a couple of the local businesses, they also went out of town for being so militant and forcing face masks. And so I am all about spending your money where you want to support, right? Like I spend my money. So I do shop small. You know, I love buying on Etsy and from small business and, you know, small shop, small, right? Shop local. I'm all about that. And I love buying from friends and family and really knowing and, you know, spending my money where I want to support.
And whatnot.
Yeah. Whatnot. What if this is not an ad or a sponsorship, but did you guys know about the Whatnot app? It's an amazing marketplace. So if you have goods, if you want to sell stuff, check out Whatnot. I'm so impressed by Whatnot. It started in 2020 and it's a great place for having a marketplace, whether it's new stuff or old stuff, whatever. It's amazing. And so Robbie Starbuck is all about bringing forward the truth about where we're shopping and where we're spending our money. And so this is a crazy story, but it's true. With Google and Robbie Starbuck.
Well, when you speak against the narrative that's out there, you usually get pushback. And Robbie Starbuck has gone against the narrative with a lot of companies that are billion-dollar companies. So the pushback for him has been pretty massive, the canceling, the culture, that type of stuff. So I guess he just sued Google. Because AI was itself creating stories about him that were so salacious, child things and things of that nature, without getting into specific
just
words.
Really violent crimes and making accusations with children and with violence and just horrible, horrible things.
And not only that, but it created its own links to articles to support this narrative that were completely false. The links were false. The articles were false. The authors to them were false. It was completely created by AI, all of it. The coding for websites, everything, to make this story look so real. So how would you know the difference? Not picking lefts or rights or anything. How would you know information-wise if that was real or not?
So did Google, were they in front of Congress? What was I hearing that they were questioning Google?
Yes, they were questioning Google, and they called it that it's a well-known fact that AI has hallucinations.
That was Google's response in front of Congress. And you guys can research this. This is in the present moment happening. I overheard a little bit of it when he was sharing it with me, and I just couldn't believe what Google was saying. Google actually calls it hallucinations, and I want to bring this forward so that you know this terminology. So Google is claiming AI can have hallucinations, meaning AI can go make false websites, false stories, false narratives, false accusations with false authors, and create, again, articles, websites that make it look real, but it's all false, and they just call it a hallucination. What? Now, I don't know of any other AI that's being questioned or even pulled up about this hallucination. And then when they go in front of Congress and they're questioned specifically about Robbie Starbuck and what happened, Google's response is, oh, yeah, it's just a hallucination. This happens. Now, Google's the same AI company that refuses to allow their AI to access encyclopedias from our past. Why? Well, are they trying to rewrite the narratives? Is it true? Is it? Now, you know, I have strong opinions about Google, and Google is also YouTube, and I have strong opinions about YouTube. The censorship, the narratives that are pushed, it's unbelievable. And so when we go out to social media How do we know what's true? Have you guys seen these AI videos? There's so many. Mike will be like, I don't even know. Is this real? And now we've been seeing commercials like on HBO and Netflix that Mike will look at me and go, is that AI? Like, it's to the point where they don't even have to hire actors anymore. I mean, come on with the cat videos dancing. That's crazy.
I've gotten caught by so many cat videos. We had one where it was like an eagle or something like flew down and almost got this cat off of a patio. And the cat fought back and it was so realistic. And it started to chase after the eagle and it had to fly away. And it was like, wow. And I got totally duped. Right after that, the whole week, I saw so many where a cat was protecting a baby from a bear and so many different ones. They all look so real.
They do look real. And there's one on X that I've noticed of large people doing crazy things, like jumping on trampolines that fling them onto a house or whatever.
And the whole house collapses.
Yes. I mean, it is crazy. These videos, they seem so real. Now, I remember when the video, especially on X, when you could actually put like people's faces in it. So like all the different celebrities and politicians. And, but let's say somebody watches that and they don't know it's AI. They don't know it's comedy. They don't know, like, do people believe that?
I'm sure a lot of us will. How would you know the difference? Which is probably going to lead us into the next part of this.
It's true. You guys, if y'all don't think catfishing is out there and people are trying to dupe, so I uninstalled TikTok. There are so many people that love my TikTok live streams. And let me tell you, TikTok is toxic, number one. It's a grooming site as well with the kids. I have a very strong opinion about TikTok. Again, I have a very strong opinion about TikTok, and this is not about TikTok. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is that there are so many fake accounts of me on TikTok. I've had it uninstalled for, I don't know, probably 2 months now. Not even there. My account's still there, but I'm not there. And the reason why I haven't deleted my account is that I have so many followers and people that love the live stream. But it's just unusable. The app is so unusable. It's terrible. They time out the connection. It's just, it's not a positive experience for me. And so I moved over to YouTube to live stream, and we'll just see where live streaming goes, in the future. We'll just see, because all of live streaming because of social media has shifted and changed. But I've talked about this in previous podcasts. So nothing new there. But for me, I was on YouTube recently doing a live stream and somebody said, hey, I noticed you sent me a private message on TikTok. And I'm like, oh no, it's not me. And it reminded me of all of the fake accounts of me. And here people think that's real. I mean, how many fake accounts have scammed people using my name and my face? That makes me sick. It breaks my heart. It's so disturbing. And TikTok does nothing about it. Like, I have proof. They're not me. And I am me. And they are still there. There's so many fake accounts. And they will reach out in comments and private messages and scam people for money. And so, you know, here I have people that know me. And they don't know if that is true or not. Now, I've gotten spam messages from people that I'm friends with and their fake accounts. And I knew right off, this is not them. And I'm able to report them because I know that person and they wouldn't speak in that way. So how can you tell? Well, first of all, not many people are going to reach out in a direct message, but also, does it sound like them? Is it something they would say? Because what I've noticed with the spam accounts and the bot accounts, it's almost like they've cut and pasted the same message over and over again. So that's one way you could be more aware is, you know, direct messages. Not a lot of people are sending direct messages. Also, does it sound like them? Or does it sound like something that a bot account is just repeating. So I've talked about this in other podcasts. There's something that people are doing to boost themselves on social media to become really big fast. And the thing is, they don't promote their account through social media. What they do is they pay bot accounts. So they will go and pay like bot accounts to come in and not only get them views, but to leave comments. And you'll start to see that the comments are the same. They're just cut and pasted, like the same thing, same thing. Or it's like three different comments that just repeat. And so what happens is somebody has a new YouTube channel or a new TikTok or a new whatever social media, and they will pay bot accounts to leave positive comments, and they're not real. But then what happens is the real human comes along and goes, oh, look at all these comments. They must be somebody. Look at all these people that agree with this. And next thing you know, you're roped in. Talk about catfish, right? It's fishing is what it is. It's fishing. So what's happening is people are paying bot accounts to leave fake positive comments so they will bait the real humans into thinking, oh, look at all these people agree. All these people like this. And it's actually not true. They're paid for bots. The same goes with the negative side. Just like what Mike shared about Google and Robbie Starbuck and the fake articles. This actually was from the Netflix documentary. I think it's called Bad Influencers. It's a one of the many documentaries about social media and the fakery of social media. And this mother that was running, you know, this $1 million account for her daughter, if anybody turned on them, she would pay the bot accounts to go after them to destroy them. So what they would do is pay for the negative comments to destroy the other account. And they're not even real. But the real humans get caught up in it. They see this and they go, oh. The other thing they were doing on the Bad Influencers Netflix documentary, not only paying the negative bots, but they would also pay to embed people's YouTube channel and like porn sites, which is not positive. It's not good. And all this, you know, all these things you wouldn't even know somebody would do to destroy somebody else's social media channel. I mean, I'm sure y'all have heard of the whole squatting, or what is it called?
Squatting is when you call the...
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So the squat team comes in. I'm sure y'all have heard about a lot of people that's happened. That is hard to make happen. I mean, you got to be a hacker to make that happen. That's pretty high level hacking.
Swatting.
Swatting.
Squatting.
Did I say squatting?
Yeah.
Swatting. Yeah. When I said it, I was like, I don't know. Swatting. It's where you get the SWAT team to come in. It's horrible. And they usually do it in the middle of the night. But usually those are like gamers and hackers and high level, like people going after people politically. But it's a thing. It's horrible. They'll call in to the police and act like you're doing something terrible in your home and somebody's life is endangered. And then the whole SWAT team comes out.
They're making bombs in the living room of this address.
Yeah. Or they have a hostage or whatever. And it's not true, right? There's that. But the other side of it is destroying their channel through the fake bot comments. Or, like I said, embedding their videos on a porn site. And the thing is that they pay for this. Like they're paying to destroy somebody else. So when it comes to social media, when it comes to things online, how do you know what's true and not? Well, the answer is sometimes you're not going to know, but you do have to trust your gut. And just because it's online doesn't mean it's true, right? Like just because you read something doesn't make it true. You got to get to the root. You got to find out for yourself, whatever the topic is. You know, one of the other things is the people. Like, let's get personal. Dating apps, catfishing. I've shared some personal stories over on Patreon. I do have a Patreon. You guys can follow for free on Patreon. But there is the 1111 membership portal, and I share personal stories. And I recently shared a personal story about a scammer that my husband and I had to deal with. But you know what? I had a step parent that was a con artist. I know this well. I've known about con artists. And my step parent was in my life in the late 80s, early 90s. So I had to face a real person con artist in my life who was a step parent. I know this. I've lived it. And this past year, thankfully, my intuition and psychic abilities with this con artist that my husband knew and affected his life in a way. Thankfully, it was small and we were unharmed in the situation, but I knew it was like almost identical to my step parent in the past with being a con artist. And here's the thing. We deal with narcissists. We deal with psychopaths. We deal with sociopaths. Absolutely. And those people with those characteristics that fit into that category, they do play us. 100% they play us. And so to understand if somebody truly is a narcissist, a psychopath, a sociopath, which I believe my step-parent fell into one of those categories, sometimes it's hard to recognize because they tell us everything we want to hear. And they mirror us. They will copy us and mirror back. And so there are predators. I've talked about this in some podcasts. They do prey on people. It's just like those fake accounts of me on TikTok. They are absolutely actively preying on people. And so are there people that are scammers? Yes. Are there people that are con artists? Yes. Are there people that are predators? Yes. Are there narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths? Yes. 100%. Some of them could be your family members, your neighbors. Absolutely. And I don't say this to scare you. I say this to be honest. It's true. But when we can be aware and use our intuition and psychic abilities, we know, but we have to trust that instinct, right? We have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Those lyrics, they ring true. You have to know when to walk away. It's that song, Psycho Killer. You know, run, 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 psycho. It's so true. When your intuition goes, psycho, run, go. When you hear go right, not left, go right. Maybe you're going to avoid a traffic accident. Maybe you're going to avoid the negative. So I believe we're always protected. I absolutely do. When you know how loved and protected you are. But when you can turn on your intuition and psychic abilities, so you have this inner navigational system to trust what's real and what's not real, but you have to listen. I can't tell you how many people have been in my coaching, you know, or I've talked to about a past event and they go, I knew that person was bad. I knew that thing was bad. And I was like, then why did you do it? It's like, well, because, right? The thoughts. You get caught up in the thoughts. I wanted to be the good guy. And Mike, you're the good guy. Like, you are the good guy.
I try.
Well, like Yoda says, try or try not, right? There's no trying. You're either doing or not doing. You are, in fact, a nice guy. You're a good guy. But you are very aware that being the good guy could mean somebody's playing you.
Oh, yeah.
That somebody's taking advantage of you.
Well, being a good guy, you have to be willing to accept the fact that that's going to happen to you. You just have to evolve and learn to recognize.
That's it. Recognize. Discernment. It goes back to the gut, right? Like when you feel off, like something's off here. Something's not right. Like something feels unsettled. for me, what is your gut doing? Is your, like, my gut will spin. It will turn over. It'll be like sour. It'll, you know, I know physically what's happening in my gut.
And to all of the listeners right now who grew up pre-internet.
What is internet?
You know, pre-internet, for you to get information, you only had a very small amount of sources to figure that out. You were going to a library, you were asking a grandparent, you were talking to your parents.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah,
encyclopedia. Why is it a big deal that Google is not using past encyclopedias? Because just a few decades ago, that was our information source.
But again, for these listeners that grew up like this, we were forced to trust our guts.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We didn't realize we were doing it, but our intuition was going off all the time. And we can re-remember that and go back to that again.
Absolutely.
With the new information that we have now.
You know, since we're here, let's go there. When we were kids, we didn't have as much stuff to entertain us indoors. Like, even in the 80s, a lot of us, even with money, it wasn't who had money who didn't. A lot of us in the 80s still only had one TV in our home, or maybe like one upstairs, one downstairs. Even in the 90s, we didn't have TVs in every room. You know, we still had those box TVs. You know what I mean? Like my little tiny college dorm room TV, it wasn't tiny. It was a box. It was actually heavy, even though the screen was small. We didn't have technology everywhere. We didn't, you know, and I remember when the TVs would go off, they would play the national anthem, right? And the airplanes would fly, and you didn't have to.
You wasn't even allowed to have a TV in your room. For one, you only watch TV on Thursday nights anyways.
No, Friday night videos.
Well, Friday night videos, that's right. I didn't think
and Saturday morning cartoons. Oh, but my.
You always got up out of your bed and went into the living room and busted out your bowl of cereal and started watching your cartoons.
Yeah, and you had to argue with your brothers and sisters because there was only one TV.
I wanted to watch He-Man, and my sister wanted to watch She-Ra or whatever.
She-Ra.
He-Man ruled.
Oh, my goodness. It's so true, though. Like, when we go back, so most of us, you know, we were in a bike gang, a biker gang. You know, we all had bicycles, and we were outside all the time. That's why health was so different, because we were in the sun. Sun, light, water, and magnetism.
Constantly active.
Constantly moving, constantly active, constantly playing. You know, the show Stranger Things? That show Stranger Things is the best depiction of 80s lifestyle. The bikes, the games, the imagination, the outside. Nobody wanted to be at home. Absolutely. Now, I grew up where we had swimming pools, and so there were three of our houses that had swimming pools, and most of us were rotating between those three houses with swimming pools. Some of us had upstairs game rooms, larger, you know, game rooms, and we would be there, but most of the time we were outside. You know, there was the funniest video you played the other day, and it said, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are?
Oh, yeah, all the commercials. Yeah.
He was just recently playing the commercials from the 80s that said, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? See, that was us Gen Xers. This is why we're so feral. It's because we were outside. I mean, the rule was when the street light lamp comes on at night, you go home. We just didn't go home until the lights came on. We didn't have phones. Our parents couldn't call us on a phone. We would be like blocks away, neighborhoods away. And the streetlights would come on, and we would all go home. We all knew where each other's hide-a keys were and the houses. Like, we could access every house in the neighborhood. It was just a different life. But none of us had technology in our pockets. None of us. And so for me personally, technology isn't bad, but the blue light and the Wi-Fi rays and all of that was something that we didn't deal with as kids. We were outside in the sun, breathing fresh air, playing, moving our bodies. And now we have a lot of people indoor in front of the blue light technology, not moving their bodies. Not to say that technology is negative or bad. Hey, we're big gamers. I love gaming. But we got to get outside. We got to move our bodies. We wonder what's going on with our health and our wellness and our well-being. It's the reduction of sunlight. The sun is healing. The sun is the life force energy. And so truly getting out with sunrise every morning is just the best thing that you can do for yourself. Again, information, right? The overcomplication of health and wellness, that's another thing that has really shifted and changed since we grew up. We didn't have all the health insurance before. We all had like a family MD or family doctor, right? And you could even call and be like, oh, I got a cough, or I got this, or I got that. And they'd be like, okay. They were healers then. Doctors were actually healers. Remember when vets actually healed our dogs and cats and, mm-hmm. right? Like, and now it's just like surgery and blood work. And it was so different. Even health and wellness in our bodies, it really is different now.
It's not health care anymore. It's sick care.
Absolutely. The diseases are actually a dis-ease in the body. I shared in one of the recent podcasts about Dr. Jack Cruz. He talks about light, water, and magnetism. He's a neurosurgeon, you know, a brain surgeon. And he is really bringing forward the truth about the blue light technology. And you can overcome it. I have the Twilight app on my phone. You can also go to, what is it, dark mode on your phone?
Night mode
in your settings on your phone. And I shared about this on Patreon as well. So I just think when it comes to what's real, what's not real, getting to the root, right? But we have to really feel through it ourselves and trust our gut on what's real and what's not. I want to tell you guys a story. I've been sharing about these sponsors because they have been really supporting the podcast, and it's amazing to be supported, especially with social media, just with all the censorship and everything that we've gone through. I have been really embracing sponsors because they support, and I can handpick every single sponsor. The ads and the monetizations on the ads, I can't handpick that, right? But I can with the sponsors. And so I've been opening to this, and I get an email a couple of weeks ago, and it's from Duolingo. Do you guys know Duolingo? It's a language learning app, and this is not an ad. This is not a sponsorship. And Duolingo had sent me a personal email from one of their executives asking if I would be interested in sponsorship. And I replied back, absolutely, let me know. They asked if I had an opening on my schedule because it was time sensitive, the promotion that they were going to offer. And I thought a language learning app would be perfect, that this would be something you guys would be interested in. And so I had a communication back and forth, multiple emails with this guy from Duolingo. And I did my research. I found out all about the company. It seemed totally legit. So they sent back an offer and said that I needed to download all the promotional videos and information, which is very normal. However, the red flag went up, and it was a sweet offer. It was a sweet offer. It would have really supported the podcast. And so I was very excited about it. And the first red flag came when I started to open all of the information in the contract. And it said, like, just as I opened the email with everything attached, my gut flipped upside down. And that usually means no for me. So then I started feeling nauseous and unsettled, and that was a no for me. But it was very disappointing to get that response from my inner navigational system and my gut instinct, because I really wanted that. And I thought it was so perfect and it seemed so legit, but my like red flags going up, like constant gut spinning. And so I read a little bit further, and there were instructions on how to download the file, And that was a warning. Like, what? Why do you need to give me instructions on dance? Like, what? And then it was instructions on how to use a specific app to unzip the file. So it was a zipped file. Now, I don't have a problem with a zip file because it just means there's a lot of information there. So it makes it easy to send via email. So I got that. But I was a little hesitant. So I decided to close it all out and to listen to my gut instinct and to assume that it was not good for me and it was a scam and it was over. So I close it all out, but I don't delete it. And I go on with my day. A couple of hours later, I have a conversation with my higher self and it goes something like, I really don't want to miss out on this good opportunity. And I was really excited about that sponsor. I thought it would be perfect. Is it really a scam? Like, what would it take? So I start firing off questions because that's so powerful. What would it take for me to know if it was real or not? So I would have confirmation that I didn't miss out on an opportunity and like any future regret. And so I begin to start receiving instructions, like go to the email, use this to download it, use that, don't follow their instructions. And so I'm like, cool, let's go. So I go back to the email. My gut is still flipping over. I'm still feeling like it's a scam, but I do want to know. So I reach out to Duolingo. I ask them if it's real. I asked them on X and I sent an email. And as I was waiting for their response, if it was real or not, I received confirmation from my computer because the way I unzipped the file, it sent it through my security and protection that I was shielded. And so it ran a report that yes, there was a virus. It would not open it and it immediately deleted it for me. And so I had confirmation it was full of a virus and they were probably going to try to take over control of the computer if I had opened it. And I did not open it. I immediately deleted everything, but that gave me the confidence. When I get finished, I get a response from Duolingo saying, there's an active sponsorship scam. If you get an email from this email address, it's not us. And sure enough, that's what had happened. So was there a moment of disappointment? Absolutely. But did I learn something? Absolutely. Will I repeat that again? No. And was I protected? Yes. So can you balance, you know, the fakery, what's true, the catfishing? With, yes, you can balance that. You can move through your inner navigational system. You can ask powerful questions. You can do your part, your research, without opening yourself up to being scammed and taken. I made sure that nothing was going to happen to my computer. I was protected, but I did want to know for myself. So I had to give myself the time and the space. But what I did was I went through my higher knowing, my higher self, my spirit self knows. And so my therapist and my guide is my higher self, which is always with me because I am my higher self. There is a larger knowing when you tune into that. But you got to stop, right? It's kind of like stop, drop, and roll. You got to stop, breathe, and relax. How do you feel about that? And then you got to trust that. So as much as I wanted Duolingo to sponsor this podcast, it was a scam. But I wasn't scammed and everything's fine. And now I have a higher knowing. And now I know how to protect myself even more. So the message for me was to stick with my sponsorship agency. I mean, I have an agency for my podcast, for my sponsorship, and it's all legit through my agency. I just have to trust them, and that's what I pay them for. And so sometimes I think it's good to have some extra protection, right? And I do pay for that extra protection with the sponsors so that I'm not taken, right? And I can be protected from that. So here's the thing. Those of you with those dating apps, I hate to be the one to inform you, but probably 99%, it's not real. Or people, I'm not even on Facebook anymore because it's a fake book. People do not show you their dirty the dirty dishes in their sink. They show you what they want you to see, right? Like, nobody's talking about their dirty laundry. Nobody's talking about, I mean, some people, I guess, maybe the complainers, right? But people are trying to create what they want you to see. And so when it comes to a dating app, when it comes to dating, people are going to show you what they want to show you. And these dating apps, they're, I mean, story after story after story that I see of married people on dating apps. Of people, you know, that have Tinder swindler. I mean, have y'all heard of the Tinder swindler? So if you're going to put yourself out there online, you have to be aware that probably 99% of it is fake. They are not being online who they are. Are there some people? Yeah, probably 1% is being real. You're being real. But are they? And for me, I feel like when your children are online, when you're on a dating app, I mean, did you guys hear about Roblox? My son loved Roblox. He was never into the Minecraft, but he was super into Roblox. He took a coding class when he was 13, you know, so long. He's in his early 20s now. But he's always been into technology. Roblox is now one of the most, what I think they've been called up, I think there's been like formal investigations because of what's happening with the children. It's not safe for the kids on Roblox, and it's for children. They're finding out there's more adults on Roblox than there are even children on Roblox. And so this idea of your kids being online and you being on a dating app, you don't know. You don't have proof how old somebody or are they really that picture. It's not until you meet somebody in person. Now, are there different things online where people are more apt to being who they are? Yes. I would like to think that the live streams that I host are legit and real. I'm real in my live streams. I know there's many people that are in the chat that are also real. And so I would like to think that we have a real life relationship, a real life communication. It's just online instead of in person. So for me, online is very real life. It's just online instead of being in person. And so for me, the online, even this podcast, is an extension of who I am in person. So are some of us real and authentic? Absolutely. Are there some places and spaces that are authentic and real? Yes. This is another reason why I like Patreon. It feels like a sacred space beyond the bots, the trolls. We can have real conversations on Patreon. You have to be discerning, but I also think you have to set yourself up for success. And that goes for kids as well. And so in person is going to be the very, very best. And I think we're having a return to that. I think that after everything shutting down in 2020, right? And everybody, the face mask, the standing 6 foot apart, like, right? Nobody being able to be social. I think it really made people want to be in person again, right? It was like the disconnect from in person was just too long. And so I do feel like we're returning back to what it was before. The more in person. So when we were in our small town last night for Halloween, like I shared, we did the maze. There were so many people. And at one point when we were all watching Scooby-Doo Halloween together, we were all sitting at community tables, people just sitting next to each other that didn't even know each other. And that's beautiful. That's how you meet people. You get out, you get your tennis shoes on, and you get outside. Right? Like, get on the hiking trail, get out into your community. It's time to be in person because that's how you know whether it's real. So here's the deal. Here's what I say. You can meet people online. Absolutely, you can meet people online, but then meet them in person, right? Have an in-person interaction with them. See how you feel face to face, hands in hands.